Hey everybody, welcome to Hope Church Podcast. This week, Pastor David was out of town, so instead his wife, Julie Lear, and his daughter, Rachel Lear, spoke on the conversation of prayer. Hope you enjoy.
Right. Well, I'm going to invite my daughter, Rachel, to come on up here. Here she comes with me. She's going to grab it. We're going to just use handhelds today, Johnny, if that's okay. You want to grab?
Is that one okay?
Yep, okay. All right, so Rachel, in May of last year, graduated from ministry. She went to two-year ministry school in Alabama. And also just this May, she's graduating from KSU with a degree in communications. Mm-hmm. And so she has, I know, I'm so proud. I'm proud mom right here, proud mom. Yes. So, but she's worked really hard. And not only that, she's cultivated a beautiful walk with God all the way through, if I could just brag on my daughter. And so when David asked me to share this morning, I just felt kind of quickened in my heart to invite her to, so we could have a conversation about the conversation of prayer. And so, and I just believe today too, this is a step in Rachel kind of stepping a little into the things that she's worked so hard to cultivate in her life too. And so I just wanted just to publicly just
thank you.
Say, well done, honey.
Thank you. I
well
appreciate
done.
That.
Well done.
Well, actually, I was going to say something. But I just wanted to say, like, as we do this series on prayer, I lived in my parents' house for 20 years, and I watched and I watched and I watched them with their life of prayer and how they pray. I would get up as a little girl, I'd get up in the mornings and I'd go walk and I'd see my mom pacing and talking to God, or I'd see my dad at the kitchen table praying and reading his Bible. And so when they talk about prayer or just or anything at this church, when my parents get up and they, or Jessica or any of them, they get up and they say stuff, they're being real. And this is something that they've either lived out or they're living out currently. And so I just wanted to say that this is not a facade. This is not a, let's just check box all the things we need to talk about when we talk about prayer. What they're saying is because they live this. And so this is just the fruit of their personal prayer life. And so, and then I also wanted to say this. Because I get this opportunity
she is my daughter.
Right now.
Yeah.
Because I get
can't
this,
you see? You see?
Because I get this opportunity right now. I just wanted to say, if you have been personally impacted by Hope Church and the sacrifice that my parents or Jessica have sacrificed for this church or for you personally, can you just do me a favor this week and send them a Facebook message or give them a call, or she didn't know what I was doing this, or just send them a text, just something that's encouraging. Because sometimes what happens is we get into the mundane of life and we wonder, what, am I really doing anything important? And so, and I'm, she didn't tell me that, you know, there's no, nothing secret going on. I just felt like when we get the opportunity to encourage people, let's do it. So if you have been personally impacted by Hope Church this week, if you could just do me a favor, if that includes Jessica, my mom, Dylan, our youth pastor, or anyone, if you've been impacted, just reach out to them and just say, hey, thank you for whatever. And make it, please make it personal and put some thought into it, because it gives you life. And Jessica's cringing in the back, but please do it. So anyways, that's all I wanted to say.
Thank you. Thank you. All right. Well, we are going to have a conversation about the conversation of prayer. We're going to continue on this series on prayer. But one more thing before we start. Okay. More thing. Actually, this week on Wednesday, it is Stephen Visser's birthday. And I just wanted to just acknowledge it. So Stephen, wave your hand. Everybody go out of your way to wish Stephen a happy birthday this week as you're going, as you're before and after church and stuff like that. And so Stephen, you're a big part of the congregation. Thank you. And so, and just one more thing. I just wanted to say one more shout out. I had a talk to Pastors Eric and Pastor Aura. And the work they're doing in Mexico is so incredible. She just got back from an incredibly fruitful trip, but it's in a very dangerous place. That is, the drug cartels have moved in, pushed all the good work out, and now they are able to go back into this, and they're revitalized. Like, they cleaned out a church, and they're putting a church back in this area in one of the border towns. And so go ask them about what they're doing. And if you're interested at all, be a part, join them in what they're doing, and pray for them and pray for this incredible good work they're doing here in our area among the Latin community, but also all over in Latin America, in the Latin American right. countries. So I just wanted to honor you guys. Thank you. Yeah. Okay. All right. I'll
start. Finally, we're starting.
Okay. So finally, the conversation on the conversation of prayer. Okay. So 1 Samuel 3, chapter 1. I mean, chapter 1 Samuel, chapter 3, verse 1. All right. Meanwhile, the boy Samuel served the Lord by assisting Eli. Now, in those days, the messages of the Lord were very rare and visions were quite uncommon. One night, Eli, who was almost blind by now, had gone to bed. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was sleeping in the tabernacle near the ark of God. Suddenly, the Lord called out, "Samuel." "Yes," Samuel replied. "What is it?" And he got up and ran to Eli. "Here I am. Did you call me?" "I didn't call you," Eli replied. "Go back to bed." So he did. Then the Lord called out, "Samuel." Again, Samuel got up, went to Eli. "Here I am. Did you call me?" "I didn't call you, my son," Eli said. "Go back to bed." I mean, parents, amen, right? Okay, so Samuel did not yet know the Lord because he had never had a message from the Lord. I'm just say that again. Samuel did not yet know the Lord because he had never had a message from the Lord before. So the Lord called him a third time, and once more, Samuel got up and went to Eli. "Here I am. Did you call me?" Then Eli realized it was the Lord who was calling the boy. So he said to Samuel, "Go and lie down again, and if someone calls again, say, 'Speak, Lord, your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went back to bed. Then the Lord came down and called as before, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel replied, "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening." Then the Lord said to Samuel, "I am about to do a shocking thing in Israel."
Dun, dun, dun.
Boom. So, question. All right. Does God talk to people? Throughout the Bible, do we see God talking to people? Yeah. Yeah, obviously, right here, this is one of the examples. So here's a more pertinent question, though. Does God talk to you? Will he talk to you? And most of us in the room have shaken our heads. Some though, I probably go, "Man, I know he probably talks to David, Pastor David, you know, and probably, I'm sure he talks to Jessica and Rex." I mean, yes, but will he talk to me? So we are going to talk about the conversation, or about conversational prayer. And the answer is yes, God wants to talk to you. But many of us have the misconception that prayer is only just going to God with our list of things that we need God's help with, which is part of prayer.
Right.
That we go to him and we talk to him about the things that are going on in our life, and we invite him into those things that we need his help with. And yes, he helps us. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
He does. And yes, he wants to be a part of all the things in our lives. But there's a foundational truth that we can miss if we only halfway understand what prayer is about. God made us humans for relationship, like we talked about this morning. God made us to be in relationship with him. He wants to be family to us. He uses these words to describe his relationship with us. Father. Mm-hmm. That's close. You know, like your father, like it's pretty locked in, right? You know, like that's not like a, you know, friends can come and go, neighbors come and go. Father, family, that's like blood, right?
Mm-hmm.
That stuff runs thick, as they say, right? So he wants it to be so close to us also that there were some people that he called friend.
Mm-hmm.
That close. So this is about a relationship, right?
Mm-hmm.
That we are here and we're supposed to be in that close of a relationship, but also with an intention that we are in that close of a relationship, yeah, so we can show other people right. what he's like
right.
and introduce him. Our lives become a bridge that Jesus walks across to the people we're around hearts and into their lives, right? So the concept of prayer, of crying out to God for intervention, surrendering, asking for his direction, those are all bricks that are built on a foundation of a relationship,
mm-hmm.
of a close, intimate,
right.
words like father,
right.
words like friend. Kind of that. So as we talk about prayer, this isn't like, you know, the proverbial Santa Claus with your list, you know, of the things you want for Christmas, mm-hmm. or the genie with the lamp that we rub and we get our three wishes. You know, But that's not what prayer is. But many times we think that's kind of closer. That's the closest kind of like little analogy for it. But we have to understand this is built on a foundational relationship of Father and of love, mm-hmm. right? And so with that in mind, we're going to take another look at conversational prayer. Go ahead.
Yes. So as my mom was saying, prayer is much more than just requesting things from God. So it's much more than just the, hey, God, these are all the things I need. Good. You know, like, let's go. Let's go on our day. It's a lot more than that. And I remember the first kind of place I started to realize this was when I was a little girl. And I kind of always had this struggle with friends when I was younger. So I would have a really good friend, and then she'd leave me, and then I'd be like, why do I have no friends, you know? But I remember in kids class, they would tell me, you know, Jesus wants to be your friend. Jesus wants to be your friend. And so I was like, well, okay, Jesus wants to be my friend. So I would go, when I was a little girl, I'd walk the little blacktop or walk the playground at school, and I would just talk to Jesus. And in Sunday school, they'd also tell me, God wants to talk to you. So I was like, okay. So I'd walk the little playground and I'd talk to Jesus and I would wait and I'd be like, okay, Jesus, I'm waiting. I'm waiting. And then the Lord would, he would speak to me as a little girl because, or we'll get to it, but because I made that space for him to speak to me. But that's the kind of relationship that he wants to have with each one of us. He wants to have that relationship of a friend, of where we talk to him and then he talks back and then we talk to him, he talks back. And we see this in Exodus 33:11. It says, the Lord would speak to Moses face to face as one speaks to a friend. As one speaks to a friend. So God would come and he would meet and he would talk to Moses as a friend. I remember in ministry school, one of my mentors, she told this story when she talked about conversational prayer. And this really challenged me. And I'll give the example with me and Nick. So like, it'd be like this. We wake up in the morning and Nick and I go and we sit down and we're, you know, drinking our coffee or whatever. And I'm like, all right, Nick, so I think you're really great. I think you're really awesome. You are absolutely incredible. And I'm going to need you to just be really nice to me. Today, I'm going to need you to be, he's always nice to me, but today I need you to be really nice to me. Today, we need to make this decision about this. We need to do this. We need to do this. I need you to do this. I need you to do that. I need you to do that. I need you to do that. Okay. All right. Now I got to go to work. Bye. And I don't give him any space to talk to me. And so would I know Nick? No. He would know me. He'd know me really well. He'd be like, Rachel, you have all these issues, you know? He wouldn't say that, but he'd be like, Rachel, you know, you have a lot going on and whatnot, but I wouldn't know him. I wouldn't know what does Nick think about me? I wouldn't know that if I never gave him the space to tell me that. I wouldn't know, okay, we're having to make this big financial decision. I wouldn't know, Nick, what do you think about that? What do you think we should do? I wouldn't know that because I'm too busy telling Nick all the things that I think and all the things that I need and all the things that I want that I don't even give him space to answer. And so sometimes what we do when we come into prayer and we go, okay, Lord, I really need direction or I really need wisdom or Lord, what do you think of me? Or we ask these questions to God and then we just move on with our day and we don't even give him space to answer those questions. And then we go, well, God's not speaking to me. God didn't answer this for me. This is just me being real, you know? And then you're like, well, God's not speaking. God's not answering. And then we think that God doesn't want to speak to us because we're not giving him the space to even speak to us. And with that being said, like I was saying, you know, I would never hear what Nick thinks about me. And we would, and then in Samuel, it said that he didn't even know God because he had never heard his voice. And so sometimes with us, when we talk about the lies that we believe or the bad things that we think about ourselves, a lot of those stem from us not knowing who God is. If we are children of God and we don't know who God is, how are we going to know who we are? And so this idea of listening in prayer and this conversational in prayer is so important because it's us giving God the opportunity to talk to us, which he so badly wants to do. So
in James, actually 1:19, it just says this. It says, understand, dear brothers and sisters, you must be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. And I know that's talking about our relationship with each other. But that, I think that kind of is a good thing to for our relationship with God, too. You know, let's be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. Yeah.
And in that, what's the action, like the immediate action word?
Yeah.
Quick. Listen. Quick. Listen. Yeah.
But be quick to listen. Mm-hmm. So what would our walk with God be like if we spent more time listening than we did talking? Mm-hmm. That's a little convicting for me.
Yeah.
Okay, moving on. All right, moving on. All right. So in order to hear from God, we need to, I want to talk just a little bit about us knowing that we can hear from him and what that looks like. So let's go back to 1 Samuel 3. Samuel did not yet know the Lord because he had never had a message from the Lord before. So the Lord called a third time, and once more Samuel got up and went to Eli. Here I am. Did you call me? Then Eli realized that it was the Lord calling the boy. So he said to Samuel, go and lie down. If someone calls again, say, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. So Samuel went back to bed. Notice, Samuel heard something. He heard something. All the other times before he said, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. He heard because he got up and ran to Eli. He just didn't know whose voice that was.
Right.
But it's interesting also that God could have, because God was speaking and he could hear something. He could have just plowed on through. And the first time just said, Samuel, I'm about to do a new thing and shake things up here. He could have just said all of that. But he didn't. Why was there this back and forth? You know, why did Samuel have to get up and what's going on there? Mm-hmm. And I believe it's because God could have kept talking, but he wanted Samuel to know him.
Right.
He wanted Samuel to know his voice. Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. And so I know many times in our lives, God is speaking to us, but we don't know that it's him.
That's good.
We think that it's maybe here, maybe there, maybe that's just Pastor David, or maybe that's just the Bible, which is for everybody we know. Maybe that's just, you know, because I know that, you know, my friend really loves me, so they're just saying those things to be nice. Hold up a second.
Right.
Hold up.
Right.
Because God can speak to us through many, many, many different ways. In fact, we talked about this in the Spirit Life class last week about hearing from God, all the different ways that God can speak to us. Sometimes it's through the Bible. Sometimes we're reading through, and then something will just go kind of like deep, and like it'll just echo inside of you. That's God speaking to you through the word. There's a truth there he wants to get across to you.
Right.
Sometimes it's the still, small, quiet. It's on the inside, like a the still, small voice deep, deep, deep inside of you. For Samuel, it was an audible voice that was what he heard with his ears, right? And then there's other times God can speak to us in visions. He can speak to us through dreams. God speaks to us many, many ways. But the primary is usually through this still small voice that's deep, kind of like in our spirit. And we learn to hear that voice. And we all can hear it. In John 10:27-28, Jesus says this. He says, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. Mm-hmm. So my sheep listen to my voice. My sheep hear my voice. They know my voice. And so the question is, are you his sheep?
That's good.
Like, are you a part of his fold, right?
That's good.
Are you under his leadership? Are you letting him lead and guide you through life? Or are you kind of out there like lone wolfing it as a sheep, which is dangerous, right? Mm-hmm. And so, if we, though, and if you're not, if you're like right now, you're like, oh, maybe that's me. Maybe I'm not part of his sheep. It's real easy. Just Jesus, I'm back. Jesus, I want you. Be,
right.
This is it. I want to be yours. You're the boss of my life again. I submit to you.
Right.
If that is your concern, it's really like that. It is just you surrendering your life back to him. That's it. It's that simple. And you know what, you guys? That's how life was designed to work. Mm-hmm. That's how God, the creative universe, when he made us for this relationship, but not to be alone, like to be guided and led and cared mm-hmm. for and tended to by him. Mm-hmm. And as we go through all these things, yeah. So we can hear his voice. So
go ahead. I was just sometimes, and I shared this in the Spirit Life class, but sometimes when we hear the voice of God, it can feel like it's too good to be true. So like, for example, if you ask the Lord, Lord, do you love me? And you hear the yes. And you're like, okay, well, that can't be God because I know that. That's like what I know. That is the voice of God. Because does it line up with scripture? Yes, it does. What's not the voice of God? Man, you really messed up this week. You're a terrible Christian. You really suck. That's it for you and God.
That's it. You're out.
That's not the voice of God.
That's not the voice of God.
Why? Because that doesn't line up with scripture. But if his voice is, you know what? You really messed up this week, but let's work on that together. Like, let's work on that together. I'm going to help you out with that. And we're going to work on that.
Yeah.
And we're going to fix this together.
Yeah.
That is the voice of God. Why? Because that lines up with his nature and we see in scripture.
Yeah.
And so I just want to like dispel and like cancel out that lie of the I don't hear from God because everything that he speaks to me, I already know. No, because if it's truth, then it's the Lord speaking to you.
Yeah. That's right. So why do we hear from him? Why? What's the why of this? God's words bring life, they bring perspective, and they accomplish his purposes. Mm-hmm. We need to hear his words. Right. We need to hear what God wants to do through his word, through his written word, and we need to hear it in our own spirit echoing for us so we can each know what our purpose is. In 1 Samuel 3:11, the word of God to Samuel said this, "Then the Lord said to Samuel, I'm about to do a shocking thing in Israel."
Right.
So God was about to upset some things and take care of some business that needed to be taken care of right there. If you want to go read it, there was some stuff happening that shouldn't have been happening. The priest was not representing him and his sons. They were not representing who God was like. And God was like, nope, we're not doing that mm-hmm. anymore. Mm-hmm. We're going to raise up people that will show people what I'm like. Right. And so he said, I'm about to do it. So he was bringing his purposes back. God's word brought his purposes back. In the book of Job, some tragedy strikes Job, big tragedy. And then we have chapters and chapters and chapters of him and his friends all trying to figure out what's happening. They're all trying to comfort each other. They're all trying to figure out the why. And they're all throwing their ideas out there. And actually, it just gets worse.
Man, that's
you know,
too
the more
real.
They're, I know.
That's too
the
real.
More they're like all just talking to each other and stuff like that. And then in chapter 38, I mean, it's a long time of them all talking about it.
Yeah.
Then Job 38, God answers. And God gives Job some perspective for three chapters, 38, 39, 40, 41, four chapters. He gives them some perspective. And he's like, Job, let's talk, you know. And he talks very strongly to him. And then you see at the end, Job go, yep, God, you're right. Mm-hmm. And then God turns things all around for him. But what God's word to Job, after all that talking among his friends, he goes, God speaks, and he has perspective and clarity, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so in Proverbs chapter 2, it says this. We see this is for us also. My child, listen to what I say. Treasure my commands. Tune your ears to wisdom and concentrate on understanding. Cry out for insight. Ask for understanding. Search for them as you would silver. Seek them like hidden treasures. Then you will understand what it means to fear the Lord, and you will gain knowledge of God. You guys, this is it. This is for all of us. Mm-hmm. It's for all of us. Mm-hmm. But in this scripture right here that we just read, it's a hunger and a cry for it. This isn't mm-hmm. an apathetic, well, maybe, you know, whatever. I'm really hungry, you know, whatever. You know, that's not what this is, a heart cry. This is a focus. This is a passion of him to do this.
This isn't like, are you hungry? Well, I can eat.
I don't know. Yeah, whatever. You know,
I can eat.
This is like passionate hunger. God, I want you to speak to me. God, I want to know you. God, I want to hear your voice. So practically, you know, many times we talk to God and we'll tell God what we think, you know, and you guys do it. God can handle your emotions. He can handle your anger, mm-hmm. your frustrated, your mm-hmm. disappointment. God can handle all those things because he already knows them. In fact, there's right. scriptural precedent for it. If you've ever read, a lot of the Psalms are a little bit alarming when you read them. Right. You know, if you've read them for like some of them, you're like, oh, should I say that? You know, burn all my enemies. You know, like, I have a problem with that, you know? And so, but you know what? David, he expressed what was going on to the Lord. But you know what we do? Is we'll just like, as we say now, we will word vomit on God, right? Mm-hmm. You say all the things, bleh. All right, well, I feel better. I got that off my chest. But God's like, hold on, daughter. I've got some things I want to say to you. Let mm-hmm. me give you words that give you life and perspective right. and bring about my purposes right. in your life.
They will bring life.
And they will bring life.
Even
they
if they
will.
Don't feel it.
That's right. Sometimes it's correction. Sometimes it's an explanation, but you know what? I heard some very wise person say that the question why rarely gets answered this side of eternity. Sometimes it does, but many times we don't. And many times we just have to just leave that with the Lord. But a better mm-hmm. question is, Lord, who are you to me in this situation? Yes. God, who are yes. you showing yourself to be yes. to me in this situation? Because yes. if we get stuck on why is all this stuff happening, and why is my life like such a, why are my kids doing this, or why am I alone, why am I still single, why am I this, why am I, we ask all those questions, then, but we never go, God, what do you want to be to me in right. this?
Right. And it goes back to Samuel, when it says he didn't know the voice of the Lord because he didn't know God.
Yeah.
And so sometimes when we're asking these questions, we're like, God, why am I this? Or why is this going on? Or why is this going on? We're questioning, God, why are you doing this to me? Mm-hmm. It's almost translated to that, which it shows it's like, that might not be the heart of God for you. Or maybe God wants to bring perspective, but it's all going back to the question of us potentially not knowing who God is.
Right. So let's talk about how do we listen well?
Oh, okay.
Why don't you share some tips about how
course.
We listen well?
So the first point in how do we listen well is prioritizing the presence of God, or making space for the presence of God. We see in Samuel, when the Lord's speaking to Samuel, where is Samuel already? Like, where is he already? He's already, it says, the lamp of God has not yet gone out, and Samuel was sleeping in their tabernacle near the presence of the Lord. So Samuel, his bed was next to the ark, next to the ark where the presence of God was. And so Samuel's position was already in a position where he was next to the presence of God. That's where he was when the Lord spoke to him. And then we see in the New Testament, when Jesus came and he died on the cross, what happened? The veil was torn, and now we get access to the presence of God wherever we go. It's not just in the tabernacle, or we don't have to go into the Holy of Holies, or it's not in the Ark of the Covenant. It's anywhere we can go. We can access the presence of God anywhere we go.
We're filled with the Holy Spirit.
Right.
The Holy Spirit has come. It's so wild, because you'll see, like, throughout the Old Testament, God comes, like, before the fall, he'd come and walk with, you know, come down in the evening, right? Mm-hmm. Then we have throughout the Old Testament, people would meet, and like Enoch walked with God and things like that all the way through. And then after Jesus, it was almost like God was like, okay, that's not even close enough.
Right.
In fact, let me just do this. I'm just going to pour myself out and fill them up with me. I'm just going right. to dwell in them. That's close enough.
Yeah.
That's close enough. Like, that's how much God wants to have a relationship with us. That mm-hmm. the Holy Spirit, his spirit,
right.
Him is coming, and it fills each one of us, starting there with Jesus, starting when we
Come
invite
on.
Him in. And you guys, we can ask him to just fill us fresh
right.
again too.
Right.
Because sometimes we get drained by life right. and by pressure and discouragement. All those things can try and suck that life out of us. But if we just invite the Holy Spirit, just Spirit of God, I want more of you. Fill yeah. me now with you. And he'll come and he'll fill us up, because
right.
that's how God close is. God wants to be with you
mm-hmm.
and me, that close.
Mm-hmm. Right. And so part of what that is that's just us keeping ourselves. So prioritizing the presence and making space for God is keeping us aware that the Holy Spirit is inside of us. And God wants to talk to us throughout our day. He wants to talk to us. He wants to talk to us when we set aside time for in the morning for to listen to him. He wants to talk to us, and he wants to meet us in the day today, today, today. I remember I had a missions pastor at my school, and he would tell this story about he was literally at work, and he was he had his music in, some worship music in, and the Holy Spirit said, "Can I meet with you right now?" And he was like, no, I'm at work, you know, I'm designing buildings. No. And the Holy, and then what he said was, he was like, "No, Holy Spirit, you can meet with me right now." And while he was at work, while he was working or whatever, he has said he had one of the most impactful moments with the Lord he's ever had. Just because when that moment came up and when he became aware that God was here and God was around and he had the Holy Spirit inside of him, it created that space for the Holy Spirit to come and meet with him and the Lord to come and reveal things to him and bring some correction. Yeah. Is what he said. I also was listening to this podcast on prayer a couple weeks ago, and I heard this other story, because some of us, we just live our lives and we have so many things that we have to do, so many priorities that we have to do. Maybe we're parents of little kids. Maybe we're, you know, we have work and we have other priorities. And you're like, "Man, I would love to be able to spend 10 minutes in quiet with the Lord every day. Like, that sounds like the dream." Maybe for some of us, you're like that. And I heard this story this week and it so impacted me. It was about this guy, and he was telling this story about how he was the primary caretaker for his four kids for a season of his life. And he was in a moment where he was like, "Lord, I want to be with you, but I have four little ones with me all the time. And I want you to speak with me. I want you to be with me. And I want this so bad, but so-and-so keeps asking me for apple juice. You know, or so-and-so's diaper is dirty for the 100th time today, you know, whatever it is." But he's like, "Lord, I want that from you." And so he was going, and one day he was, you know, cleaning one of his kid's diaper, and the Holy Spirit came, or he said, "Lord, reveal to me yourself in this moment. Lord, where are you in this moment? Holy Spirit, where are you in this moment?" And the Holy Spirit started to show him Jesus in this moment. He said, "Jesus came down into humanity and became human and cleaned up the mess of the world so we wouldn't have to sit in the mess of the world. But he came down and he baptized, or he became human and put himself all in this mess and cleaned it up. And that's the same opportunity we have with the Lord every single day." And so he had this deep revelation while he was cleaning his baby's diaper. That's so crazy. And so, but it's this like this attitude of, "Lord, I'm aware that you're here right now. And I'm aware that you're in this moment. Lord, reveal where you are in this moment." And he will. And then the second thing is obey what he's saying. So like Mom said, sometimes the Lord brings correction, or sometimes the Lord brings perspective, or whatever it is that he brings. What are we doing with that information? You know, like sometimes with me, the Lord will be like, "Rachel, like what you said, that was really sharp. You need to go back and apologize." And I'm like, "No, what are you talking about? No, I did not." Or like, "I'm completely valid in that, you know," or whatever it may be. But then what happens is I'm not doing anything with what the Lord said to me. Like, I'm not stewarding it well. I'm not, the Lord's giving me an opportunity to create good fruit, like what we've been talking about, and I'm just throwing it away. I'm just like, nope, not doing that, you know? And so what are we doing when the Lord does speak to us and he gives us perspective, or if he gives us words of life? Are we saying, like the question earlier, "Lord, do you love me?" We go, "Nope, that's just my mind telling me that." Or are we saying, "Lord, you do love me. Like, you really do love me. Thank you, God, for speaking to me today. Thank you for telling me that today," or whatever. But what are we doing with those moments when he brings perspective, when he brings correction, when he brings those words of affirmation and tells us who we are, what are we doing with that? And so the other thing is get quiet. This one has two folds. Number one, get quiet in our minds. With our lives and with when we go to prayer sometimes and we have our list and we have our, okay, I need to pray for all of these things because all these things are stressing me out. All these things are making me anxious. All these things. And we go to Lord and we're like, okay, Lord, like I'm really anxious about this. Like, Lord, help me with this. Help me with this. Help me with this. Help me with this. And we go through our list. That's really great. And we need to do those things. But sometimes what we need to do is tell those things in our mind to be quiet. Is to be quiet and ask the Lord, Lord, give me perspective in these things that are making me nervous, that are making me anxious, that are making me worried, that are making me whatever. And say, Lord, Lord, bring your perspective. And I know for me, when I'm dealing with a lot of anxiety in my life, the lie is that I have to keep thinking about it and I have to keep figuring it out because the moment I stop figuring out is the moment when it's going to consume me. Or it's going to be the moment when the thing that I'm worrying about actually happens. You know, like if it's financial stress, if I stop worrying about this and I stop trying to figure out how to work through this financial stress, it's going to be the moment when we're going to be broke and we're not going to have, but I have to keep worrying about it and I have to keep figuring out how to fix it or what's going to happen with that. Instead of being like, okay, Lord, what do I need to do in this situation? Lord, what is your perspective in this situation? Lord, what are your thoughts on this situation? And then holding on to his thoughts. And whenever that anxiety pops up, you say, no, Lord, this is what the Lord said. But we can't have those things to hold on to if we're not asking him for a heavenly or a his perspective on the situation. And so do you have anything to add? Beautiful. And then the other aspect of get quiet is to quiet our mouths. And so sometimes in prayer where I know for me, I'll be like, okay, Lord, like, Lord, this is what I need. 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 And I keep talking and I'm like, Lord, you're not speaking. Like, Lord, why aren't you talking to me? Or like Nick and I will be in the, going back to this, Nick and I will be in the car and I'll just be like, okay, Nick, so this is all this stuff. And then I'll be like, why aren't you telling me your thoughts? Why aren't you telling me what you're thinking? This
Nick,
is
that
real
never
life.
Happens, does it?
I'll be like, Nick, what are you thinking? I'm like, Nick, you're being really quiet, you know? And he's like, see, he's laughing. He's like, Rachel, you keep talking. But it's the same way with God. Sometimes we just keep going, whether it be in our minds or whether it be in our mouths. We just keep talking, keep talking, keep talking, keep talking. And then we're like, God, God, you're not speaking. What are you thinking? You know? And then the last one is we have to invite him. And Eric, you can go ahead and come on up. We have to invite the Lord to speak to us. So when we feel that, okay, like, Lord, I'm aware of your presence. You know, I'm trying to quiet my mind or, you know, do all the things that we talked about on Sunday. And then we say, Lord, I invite you to speak to me. I'm listening. You have my ear. Just like in Samuel, the Lord, like mom said, the Lord didn't just go, okay, Samuel, let me tell you all these things. The Lord prompted Samuel. He said, Samuel, Samuel. And then what was Samuel's reply? Speak, Lord, your servant is listening. He said, speak, Lord, I'm here. Speak, Lord, I'm ready. And so the Holy Spirit is a gentleman. And so we have to invite him into those areas of our lives. He very, very rarely, unless it's like a big, big, big deal, will he interrupt us. And we're talking like life or death or like you're about to make some really dumb decision is when he'll interrupt us. But most of the time, Holy Spirit works on that permission base. And so if we're not giving him that permission to speak into our finances, if we're not giving him that permission to speak into our marriages or to speak into our singleness or to speak into our personal lives or to speak words of identity, then he's not going to barge his way in. And so we have to be people that are inviting the Holy Spirit into these areas of our lives.
That's right. So let's do this in closing. We're going to just take a couple minutes and just listen and just take We're going to have a little prayer conversation with you and God, each one of us and God. So I want to just invite everybody just to close your eyes. There's nothing sacred about closing your eyes other than it just shuts the world around you out. It removes some distractions. And let's just start out by just saying, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. Let's just say what Samuel said. So everybody just say this with me. Say, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. God, I'm listening to what you want to say to me. Now I want you to think about what's a situation or the biggest thing that you're kind of facing or something that's weighing on you. It could be something like a situation you're kind of stuck in, or it could be a relational, it could be job, it could be some fears, some anxiety, any of those things that maybe we've kind of touched on, or maybe something else. I want you to have that right there. And we're going to have a conversation with God, prayer about that. So let's start out with this. Let's just ask God. God, do you love me? And you don't have to say it out loud. You can just say it quietly under your breath, even in your heart, and then just listen deep inside for his answer. God, do you love me? Asking God, are you for me? Having that situation in your mind, God, can I trust you in this situation? God, will you show me what to do? Sometimes in these things, they can be complicated, especially when you're dealing with other people. So a good question is to ask, Lord, what's my responsibility in this situation? And this may be a little more, like God may be giving you a picture, like an image. He may be giving you maybe some words, or just a sense of what's your responsibility? Especially, like I said, in a situation involving other people. The next question, Lord, what's my first or my next step that I need to take? What do I need to do next? Just sit with this one for just a little bit longer. And you speak to us, God. You lead us, God. God, Psalm 23, it says you lead us to green pastures, make us lie down in green pastures, and lead us by quiet, still waters. God, you lead us, God. We are your sheep, Lord. We hear your voice. Lord, we trust in you. I know that God is speaking, he's talking, he's working these things in your life. And there's nothing magical about this moment. There are things that you can do throughout your day and all the things that you're doing in your life. And we just take some time, quiet our minds, just get quiet, and then just talk to him. When things come up at work, things come up in people, just talk to him. Talk to him about these things and then listen. And then ask him, Lord, what do I need to do?
I just, even practically, like, what does that look like? You have a situation, keep your eyes closed, stay engaged. But when you have that situation at work where that one coworker that just really gets on your nerves came and they did that thing, and you're just starting to get heated, you just say, Lord, help me in this. It's as simple as that. It's as simple as, Lord, help me with that. Lord, give me your love for them. Or maybe it's like, Lord, I don't know what to do next. Lord, I feel like I've done all I can do in this project, and I don't know what to do next. Or even with it, if it's with your kids, Lord, I don't know how to calm down my baby. Or Lord, I don't know what to do with this friendship. Just ask him. And then even today, whatever the Lord's speaking to you, I encourage you to go journal it, go write it down, go mark it, go put it somewhere, put it in your phone on your notes or whatever. Go put it down and write it down. Because who knows, tomorrow the Lord will probably be speaking the same thing about what you need to do next.
Yes. I'm going to close in this scripture. It says, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he'll show you which path to take. It's an invitation, God. An invitation that we initiate, he responds to, but then there's a flip invitation that he's initiating that we respond to. It's both. So we just thank you, God. What a treasure it is, Lord, for your voice that brings perspective and clarity and life and accomplishes your purposes, Lord. So we thank you, God. So now in closing, if you're here,